to sing God's praise. And when we first begun,
let's sing verse 1 again.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Cherish the old rugged cross.
till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
Father, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you for your Spirit in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the promise that you comfort us. You hold us. Lord, you have not left us here orphans, but you sent your Spirit to dwell within your believers, Lord, that we may know you more, that we may be comforted in times of sorrow, Lord, that we may be exalt you in times of rejoicing. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came and lived a life that we could not live, the perfect life, died a death on the cross in our place as our substitute. Lord, that a person could be found righteous before you, not by what we do, but through what Jesus has done. We thank you in his name.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, that the Son of God disclosed. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
And the joy.
And the joy we share as we tarry there, none
today. And now we're going to be blessed by Chris, who her nephew, who is going to come up and sing a song that I understand he wrote.
If you'd like a taller stool, there's one here.
So do you feel like you're heaven bound?
Amen.
Amen.
Soon.
Maybe sooner than the world thinks, you know? Well, I have a history beginning about 1991 as a child of God. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Wasn't sure when I headed out here. You know, you have, in life, you have so many things to do. But I thought, you know what, I'm going. And so now then, looking back, I know I was supposed to be here. That's for sure. Well, this song is not my song. It's right out of the Word of God. I did pin it down one day when I was headed to Houston to catch a flight out to Southern Africa on a short-term mission trip. And I was going to go do a CD. Now, I want God to have all the praise out of this. It's nothing I did. But I stopped in a little town in Texas and pinned a couple of kind of upbeat songs. I've slowed this one down a little bit since I recorded it, but I think God will, he'll be with me. I'll get through it. I haven't ministered much in music in a long time, but here we are. And the title of it, it's a title that's that CD that I did. It's called Heaven Bound. Kib D. Life on earth is just a little space and time, here for just a day, and then it's gone away. Like a cloud that's here a moment, and it's out of sight. When it's over, I'll be heaven bound. Heaven bound, I'm on my way to glory land. Heaven bound, I just might go today. Jesus gave his life for me at Calvary, and because he did, I'm heaven bound. All roads lead to heaven, though the world may say, but the Bible states, take the narrow way. He knocks on your heart's door and you must ask him in. When you do, then you'll be heaven bound. Heaven bound, I'm on my way to glory land. Heaven bound, I just might go today. Jesus gave his life for me at Calvary, and because he did, I'm heaven bound. Heaven bound, I'm on my way to glory land. Heaven bound, I just might go today. Jesus gave his life for me at Calvary, and because he did, I'm heaven bound. You know, because of me, I'm heaven bound. And that's for sure. Praise the Lord. It's not Easter. It's not Easter yet, is it? One Easter morning, I was going to speak at the church, and I thought it would be nice to have a song to sing, so. On resurrection morning, redemption was complete. The Son of God, our Savior, stood upon his feet. The Father sent an angel, proclaiming he was raised. He said, "Why are you grieving? He's no longer in the grave. The sun rose up in glory when angels rolled the stone away. On resurrection morning, when Jesus came out of his grave, the Father sent an angel, proclaiming he was raised. And he said, why are you grieving? He's no longer in the grave." On resurrection morning, he rose in victory, with angels all around him. They were waiting patiently, while heaven stood in silence. The saints began to sing, "Oh, brave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Sun rose up in glory when angels rolled the stone away. On resurrection morning, when Jesus came out of his grave, while heaven stood in silence, the saints began to sing, oh, brave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, brave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" Praise his name.
Let this blessed assurance
thank you for your goodness, for your greatness. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we know are yes and amen in Christ. We pray in his name, amen.
It's great seeing you all. I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm, Gene, and share a few things out of it. And ask you to please stand in honor of God's word. And we'll read the 23rd Psalm here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Father, we thank you for gathering us here. Lord, we thank you for our precious sister Jean. We thank you for her wonderful family. And thank you that we're able to worship here together. And Lord, I would just ask that your spirit would minister your word to each heart here as only you can. You're the wonderful counselor. You're the God of all comfort and peace, and your joy is our strength. Minister yourself to each one of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The thing that I wanted to most minister to you this afternoon, Gene, is that Jesus is the good shepherd. You're in his hands. He's going to take care of you forever. I have three words I wanted to give you as you're perhaps reading or somebody's reading this 23rd Psalm to you. I know you love it. And this is for all you guys. I'm talking to Gene, but these are for all of you. Three words just to hopefully keep in mind. The first one is grace. The second one is guest. And the third one is glory. And I'll explain as we go what I mean by that. The first is grace. And the imagery we have here is of the shepherd taking care of a sheep. And you're his sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is your shepherd. The triune God shepherds you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the first thing we read here is that the Lord is my shepherd. And we're reminded that you don't have Psalm 23 without Psalm 22. The Lord's not everybody's shepherd. In Psalm 22, it begins with these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Familiar words, words Jesus spoke on the cross. And the whole psalm is prophesying the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ a millennium before it took place. In verses 7, all those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. He says, at the beginning in verse 14, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. And then the psalm closes with these words. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Essentially, the 22nd psalm begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it ends with, it is finished. What Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. The work of salvation is accomplished. And there would be no Psalm 23 without Psalm 22. He couldn't be anybody's shepherd without first dealing with our sin. And one of the great comforts I take whenever I get to talk with Gene and we reread the Bible together is knowing that through faith in him, he's her shepherd and he's going to take care of her forever. But he's only the shepherd of those who have faith in him. Jesus said to enter in at the narrow gate. He said that the wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And really the picture we have is of a turnstile. You don't go into the kingdom of God as a group. You go one by one. Each person has to have their own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go through a turnstile, it's narrow. Our sin doesn't fit through. We have to be willing to repent, to leave behind things that don't please God. Repentance and faith in Christ is the way into the arms of the Good Shepherd. We have to turn from sin and place our faith in him. Now the Christian finds he's left his sins, but he finds very shortly his sins haven't left him, and he'll be battling it for the rest of his life. But there must be the willingness. There must be the willingness to do things God's way and the trusting in him, resting your soul on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he did. He died on the cross for our sins because we could never earn our way to heaven. We owe an infinite debt to God. Jesus Christ died on the cross. So through faith in him, God treats him as if he had committed all of our sins, and he treats us as if we had lived his sinless life. And it's the great exchange. He's our substitute. You place your faith in him, that way you have eternal life, and you are immediately a sheep in the hands of the Good Shepherd, in the care of the Good Shepherd. And because, Gene, because you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's your shepherd. He's the Lord, your shepherd. He's all of his people's shepherd, but he has specific love and care for you. The psalmist personalizes this. This is my shepherd. He knows what he's doing. He's governing my life. He's taking care of me. I shall not want, the psalmist says. He's going to provide everything I need, everything you need, and every spiritual resource you need. He provides. He takes care of you. It says he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He brings us to places of rest. He knows our frame, that we're just dust. He knows our weakness, and he brings us to places of rest because he's our good shepherd. He loves us and cares about us. He brings us to places of rest and peace, still waters, and refreshment for our souls. Goes on and says, he restores my soul. That is my strength. The Lord restores my strength. Physically, I get down. I get wiped out spiritually. And he's the one who restores that. Sufficient for the day. The day has its own trouble. He'll give you strength for the day. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. And he also has restored us when we wonder. Many of us have strayed at times. He's faithful. He restores us. He restores his sheep. He goes and brings us back to himself. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the sure and secure path of walking with God. And he does it all for his name's sake, for his reputation's sake. He puts his reputation on the line to be faithful to his word. And so we have promises like this in John 5:24, where Jesus says, most assuredly, it's truly, truly, literally, amen, amen. When you're in church, and a lot of churches, the preacher says something, you say that's the truth of God. I agree, you say amen. Jesus says amen first, because it doesn't much matter if anybody else agrees with me. I'm telling you, this is the truth. And he says it twice for emphasis, amen, amen. He says this, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. If you're a Christian, you have eternal life right now as a present possession. The judgment for you took place on the cross. And so you have crossed over from death to life. And for his name's sake, he'll keep that promise because he's faithful. And all the promises are yes and amen, as Howard said in his prayer. And then he goes on and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the dark valley. This is death itself, but there are also things even leading up to death that are deep valleys that we go through. We may think we're going to die. Whatever it is, up to and including death, he's going to lead us through it. He says, I walk through it. We have to go through that valley unless the rapture happens first. But we don't stay in it. We go through it to the other side. And he says, even though I go through that, I will fear no evil. Why would he fear no evil? He says, yeah, for you're with me, right? Because you are with me, I'll fear no evil. It's like the little girl walking home at night with her dad, and it's getting really, really dark, and they're walking, and she takes her little hand, and she reaches over and grabs two of his fingers. She says, Daddy, hold my hand. I can only hold part of yours, but you can hold all of mine. Well, he's got all of our hand in his hand, and he takes us all the way home. And this is a wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on both sides. He's in this world and the world to come. He's going to grab you by the hand and take you all the way through. He'll also be the first face you see in glory. How can he do that? He's Jesus. That's how he can do that. His human nature is over there. As God, he's everywhere. So he's right here with us, and you'll see him face to face when you cross over, because he's faithful. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your protection, your guidance have always comforted me, and they'll comfort me all the way to the end because of the grace of God, his undeserved, unmerited favor. These things are yours as a free gift. But the second word I had for you was guest. And the imagery now seems to shift to a guest in a very important person's tent, perhaps. There's a table prepared. You're a special honored guest of this special host because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And there's this imagery of this banquet. You're anointing my head with oil. My cup runs over. There's this bounty. And I can't read this without thinking immediately of the marriage supper of the Lamb, where there'll be this glorious reunion in heaven with the very Lamb of God himself. And when we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, it's a foretaste of that, a prefiguring of that. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I love that. He's disarmed Satan at the cross. He's disarmed principalities and powers at the cross. And now all they can do is watch as the gracious host, the Lord himself, he blesses you abundantly and your cup runs over. I use the word guest, but we know from the New Testament, you're more than a guest. You're adopted into the family of God. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're adopted. You're now a daughter of the Lord. You're the adopted daughter of the King. Amen. And you're royalty. So I have something that starts with a G, so I use guest. Should have put D, daughter, because you're a daughter of the King. But then finally, is the word glory, the glory. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His goodness and mercy is always with you, sustaining, upholding you, whispering his love to your heart, speaking his grace to you, and you'll dwell in his house forever. I'm going to turn to John 14 to close this. And the first three verses of the Gospel of John in chapter 14, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's primarily referring to the rapture, but it certainly applies to us as well when he calls us one at a time to be with him. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know, some people who are knowledgeable in the background of first century Jewish living will say this is what a young man who's betrothed to his bride would say when they're planning the weddings. I'm in my Father's house. There's many places. I'm going to go, and we're told they would just add on rooms to the house, add on to the house, make room for my bride, and then I'll go get her when it's time. The Father will tell me when it's time. I'll go get her and bring her to be with me. So you're a daughter of a King. You're the bride of his beloved Son. And Jesus says this, if it were not so, I would have told you. And again, he places his credibility on the line. The Son of God places his reputation on the line, says, look, if you trust in me as your only hope in this life and the next, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to take you to be with me. If it were not so, I would have told you. You have the very word of the Son of God and everything he is, his credibility on the line when he makes that promise. So, Gene, because he's, and anybody else whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's set his grace upon you, you're his special guest. More than that, you're his beloved daughter, and you're the bride of his beloved Son, and you're bound to live with him in glory forever and ever. Well, Father, as we look at these promises of yours, all of which are yes and amen in your Son, and you are absolutely faithful, we lift up Jean to you, and we lift up Betty to you, and we lift up Donna and Marla. We lift up the whole family to you, and just ask your wonderful, sweet grace to minister to each one, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just your guests. You adopt us into your family. And we thank you, Lord, that our destiny is to be in you with glory, with you in glory forever and ever and ever. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Gene just wanted to tell everybody thank you for everything, for being here, for the music. What a wonderful, those songs are wonderful. What a blessing. Thank you. And thank you all. And on behalf of Gene and her family, just want to thank everybody and God bless you.
Sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my home? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art.
Father, again, as we are here worshiping you, Lord, for who you are, the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything, Lord, and what you've done in saving people to yourself, not through our works, but through the perfect work of your Son, Jesus, a free gift offered to anyone who would receive it. Lord, we're amazed at your mercy and your grace. We are so thankful for our sister Jean, the blessing that she's been in all of our lives. We'll continue to bless us, Lord. We thank you for her. And thank you for this time that we've been able to come and sing to you, to look into your word, to know that you love us, each and every one of us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.